Women are changing hockey, and we are here to talk about it. This is Chell Chit Chat, and I'm your host, Liz Hood. Today's episode on how to be an entrepreneur in women's hockey is a really cool one. Our guest today, Julia Tesheri, has a really interesting story that follows a thrilling path of identifying an appetite and excitement for something cool, taking an idea, and running with it. Julia is one of the co-hosts of the Jocks and Jills podcast, which is the PWHL's flagship show that talks all things women's hockey with incredible guests. Julia is such an incredible guest for this because she is so enthusiastic and excited about women's hockey, and she has an awesome balance of optimism and work ethic to, for lack of better terms, be the change that she wants to see in women's hockey. I am so glad that you're here for episode 2 with Julia Tesheri, so without further ado, let's talk about how to be an entrepreneur in women's hockey. Welcome back to Chell Chit Chat, everyone. This is episode 2, and I am super excited to be joined by Julia Tesheri today, and we're going to be talking about all things P-Dub and women's hockey. Julia, how are you doing today?
Good. Really pumped to be chatting with you. Like, congratulations on this and all your hard work. I know it's a bit of a grind to kick a podcast off, speaking from the last year of my life. So congratulations on everything so far.
Thank you so much. It's definitely a lot easier when you have amazing support networks who are willing and able to jump on with you and chat, shoot the shit a little bit. So I'm super happy that you're here today joining me and talking about, well, yeah, like you said, your own podcast and some of the amazing stuff that you've done. So why don't you kind of just get us all started, give everyone a little bit of a rundown on who you are, some of your background. Who is Julia? Tell the world.
So I guess I got my start in media right away when I was in university. I went to TMU. At the time, it was Ryerson. It makes me feel kind of old now, even though I didn't graduate that long ago, but their sport media program. And I was like in the third class or something like that of the program. It was brand new when I started. And I always kind of had an idea of what I wanted to do. Oddly enough, when I was in high school, I'm from Thunder Bay originally, so closer to your neck of the woods than the neck of the woods that I live in right now in Winnipeg. So I always kind of had an idea of what I wanted to do. I grew up playing hockey, like, decently. I don't know. I was okay. My mom sent me a text over the weekend that made my day. She was like, I was at work today. She's a teacher. She was like, one of the superintendents came in, and he remembered you playing hockey, and he said you were really good. And I was like, oh, wow. I'm going to tell everyone I know about this.
That would be my ego like crazy. Yeah.
I know. It honestly made my day. I was like, thank you. No one's remembered me as a hockey player in literally decades. So thank you very much for that kind sir at my mom's work that stroked my ego like that. So I liked playing, but also I had this, like, I don't know, I felt like Miley Cyrus a little bit in high school because I liked to do musicals as well. And I was kind of into music and performing, and I did plays and stuff too.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I never thought of it that way. That is a way better comparison than Hannah Montana. I don't even know how I missed that. That's so true. So yeah, I love to play sports, but also I loved like the musical theater performance aspect. I like public speaking too. I was into speeches and stuff in elementary school and middle school. And in careers class, like, who picks what they want to do in careers class? But I literally did. It's so embarrassing. In that semester class that you have to do in grade 10. Did you have to do that, or is it different?
Something like that. It was called like LifeWorks or something. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And you spend like half a semester learning about government or something like that.
This I was supposed to be a paralegal or something, I think was what I was, my test told me I would be good at.
Cool. And then the other half, you're supposed to work out what you want to do for the rest of your life, which is chill stuff to do when you're 14 or 15 years old. And I don't know, I was trying to fill out the assignment. I had no clue what I wanted to do, even a little bit, but I had gotten to the point in my life where I probably realized that I wasn't going to play in the NHL, which was tragic for me at the time to realize. But yeah, every hockey girl has that moment when they're like, oh my God, I'm not going to be the first woman to play in the NHL.
What now?
I guess not anymore. I guess they don't have that anymore because PWHL exists, but everybody coming up our age would have had that dream and wish and thought. And yeah, so around grade 11, I was kind of, I don't know, I wasn't really into playing hockey all the time anymore. I was dialing back with that, but I was trying to decide what I wanted to do. And my mom bought the McLean's University magazine that comes out once a year.
Okay.
Like a feature, maybe I'm aging myself with that, but it's like a physical hard copy magazine that comes out once a year. No, I'm not aging myself. I swear to God, this still exists. It comes out once a year, and it's like all the best university programs, graduate programs, undergraduate programs, the best schools, like all the cutting edge stuff in universities. And featured in this edition of the magazine was the Ryerson Sport Media Program because it was brand new then. Like, I think it was in its first year then. And my mom saw this and she's like, you love Christine Simpson. And I'm like, oh, perfect. I'll do that with the rest of my life. And I'm not joking, Liz. That's what it was. I was like, well, that's a good idea, Mom. Perfect. I got a great grade on the assignment to the point that I remember that this teacher honestly didn't like me very much. I was pretty good in school, but I was definitely a certified yapper. Like, I just, shocker. I just couldn't shut up.
Can't relate whatsoever.
Like, I know. Like, it's like I got good grades and stuff, but I physically could not shut up. And this teacher was not a huge fan of me as a result of that. And she had me stand up and tell everybody, like, what my assignment and what my idea was. And I don't know if she thought it was ridiculous or not, or what, or she actually thought it was a good idea. But yeah, it all worked out. So I went to that university program eventually, and I started covering the Ryerson men's and women's hockey teams from there. And I was able to kind of get my feet wet in kind of every position when I was at Ryerson, from literally holding the hard camera in the corner. My back was sore for days after that. I hated it. I thought I wanted to be behind the scenes person, honestly, when I was in school, directing and producing, and then ringside reporting. And honestly, once I got my first sniff of ringside reporting, I had so much fun with it, because I don't know, there was just a certain element of like getting to be right at ice level and part of what was happening. And I love to shoot shit with the guys and the gals. It's like my favorite thing. And if I could do it for a minute between periods, I don't know, hopefully I can have a little bit of a fun conversation in those little moments that are usually like just deep breathing and kind of awkwardness. So yeah. And then at some point in university, I managed to land an internship at TSN through some mutual connections that I had made in school. And that turned into a job pretty soon after. I was full-time at TSN for like 5 years, but I think I was there for 7 in total, which is kind of crazy, on the bar down team. So I did everything at TSN, which was really cool. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, aren't I? But like, I hosted Sports Center. I hosted a radio show, Leafs Lunch, for a couple of years, which is a trip to think about. I was ringside for Memorial Cups. Like, I was really lucky to kind of do World Juniors and all the things that I really had dreamed about doing at TSN. And of course, just getting to be part of the Bar Down team and really learning how to grow a digital brand and develop that skill. And since then, yeah, I've landed full time at the PWHL, hosting the league's official podcast, Jocks and Jills. Tessa and I came up with last year, which is crazy that now it's like a real and official thing. And I don't know. That's like my career story, I guess.
That's amazing. It's so crazy because I feel like, yeah, I mean, I started following you / knowing who you are and everything like that partway through all of that. And I've sort of watched you, as you know, on my TikTok screen with Bar Down stuff, to all of a sudden, you know, kind of just having TS on and on in the background. It's like, whoa, that's Julia on the Sports Center desk. And now, you know, seeing your podcast kind of take it on a life of its own. So why don't you tell everyone a little bit about Jocks and Jills and kind of how that started and what it was like creating that podcast and covering the league from that kind of independent capacity for the first season?
It was totally a side project. And I don't know, the league kind of snuck up on everybody. Like, when it was announced, I remember not long before that, we were all in Brampton for the World Championship, and there was whispers, like, the whole time we were there, all anybody was talking about. Like, it was hard to focus even what was going on the ice in Brampton. I would go that far, because everybody knew that, like, time was running out for some really important players. And everybody had run out of patience. Like, where is the league? Everybody was promised the league. Where's the league? And then the league arrived. And I don't know if anybody expected it to come the way it did. Like, I don't know if anybody expected the PHF to be dissolved right into the PWHL right away. Like, I don't know. It was all so crazy. And we knew we really wanted to be involved. Like, Tessa, Cheryl, like, we had such a good women's hockey crew at TSN. And honestly, I'm really proud of what we accomplished as a women's hockey crew at TSN in an era where there was only rivalry series and PWHPA Dream Gap tours and international hockey. He's just retiring, but I want to shout him out, Paul Graham. It's his last few weeks at TSN right now, but like, he was kind of the guy that grew the World Juniors, not kind of, he was the guy that grew the World Juniors into what they are now. And he's also always been a really big supporter of women's hockey in a really authentic way. Like, the 1990 Women's World Championships in Ottawa were on television, the first ever World Championships, Women's World Championships that ever happened. And they were on TV. They were on TSN because of him. And so, yeah, I was really proud of what we did at TSN as a group in order to, like, everybody had a part in growing the game, and all the players obviously were the ones that got us to the point of having a league. So I don't know, we were really excited at TSN when the PWHL came around and it was announced, and we were so excited when TSN got broadcasting rights. We weren't as excited about the fact that TSN wasn't producing every broadcast, so every outlet right now is just plug and playing the PWHL's league broadcast, which is cool. But we just wanted to be more involved. So we decided to, like you said, take on the side project of Jocks and Gels. Like, Tessa called me and she's like, I have an idea. And I was like, a podcast? And at first I was like, oh, revolutionary, a podcast. Like, in the year of our Lord, 2024.
Every dude in their mic in their basement. All right, whatever.
I know. We're going to have a podcast, as if I'm not, like, enough of a yapper in this life. But we thought it was important, honestly, because there were some... And I really am careful about saying, like, there wasn't anything out there just for women's hockey. But, like, Noxie and Cax had such a good women's hockey podcast. But, obviously, Cax has, like, a pretty important role at RDS. And for a long time, she was working with an agency. She just left recently. Noxie has a pretty important role in the PWHPA. So, hard for them to talk as media, which I understand. But I miss their podcast. And... yeah. Oh, and Kessel and Keller had a podcast. So there's been, like, podcast pop up. Obviously, Kessel has her job with the Penguins now, and Keller's still playing in the league, so she can't do that right now. So, like, there's been lots of great ones pop up. And also, like, Jeff Merrick covers women's hockey when he used to be on 32 Thoughts, now with the Sheet, but he's mostly junior in NHL. Still does some great women's hockey coverage too. We wanted something that was literally just women's hockey, but something that was fun too. Like, Tessa and I both think the same way about hockey coverage. Like, I think personally that in Canada with hockey coverage that we take ourselves a little bit too seriously. Like, I was guilty of it too, and I still am guilty of it. Like, sometimes I get on camera and I, like, my back straightens up like I'm gonna do a freaking weather report, and I don't know why we do that. Like, it speaks to, like, culture around hockey probably, and, like, how it is, like, a bit of a stuffy white dude sport. So it's, like, covered in a stuffy white dude politics type of way. Yeah, like, who am I to be wearing a blazer? Like, I'm not really a blazer girl. So I would kind of try to fit into maybe a box of somebody that I wasn't, just because of the setting that I was in, which is fair, I guess. So me and Tessa wanted a space where, like, it didn't feel formal, it didn't feel stuffy, and players could kind of kick back and tell their stories. Tessa has this great analogy where she always used to say, like, I am not advocating for women's hockey players to wear visors or no visors for that matter. Like, just know that that's not where I'm going with this. But Tessa always used to say it was so hard for fans to get to know us because we were the cages. Like, nobody could see our faces. Tessa would go to, like, meet and greets and meet people, and they'd be like, oh, who are you? And she'd be like, Tessa Benham. And they'd say, oh, number 25, like, we love you on the ice. But literally they couldn't see her face through her chrome or white cage, whatever she was wearing at the time. So yeah, we wanted a space for people to get to know the players in kind of a bit of a more intimate way. And we also wanted a space where we could have some fun, and it was, like, kind of a lot of more work than we probably thought it was going to be, because we handled everything ourselves. We were really lucky to have sponsorship interest in the first year. Yeah, it was honestly a whirlwind. It was a lot of work, but Tess and I work really well together, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, the first season of the podcast was really exciting. There was a lot of fun. I think it definitely is shown in the work that you guys have done. You know, you and Tessa would record out in, like, Tessa's yard while your partners were, like, in the hot tub and playing in the pool and stuff like that, and having some fun, getting Abby Rock on and getting her to kind of poke fun at our teammates. You know, like, it was a very casual. I really, really enjoyed it. And if anyone knows me, they know that, like, as ironic as it sounds, like, I'm not a huge podcast person, and so, like, I would tune in pretty frequently to Jocks and Gels, and I really enjoyed it, like, the casualness of the conversation, but just also the level of informedness, that's not a word, but you know what I mean, in terms of, like, the depth of the content was so good, but it didn't have to be presented, like you said, in some stuffy, really, really structured, clearly formatted way. It was like, oh, we're just gonna talk, and then that's, I think, how the best podcasts are created. And, you know, clearly you guys saw a lot of success in that year, because the podcast looks a little bit different this year. You guys are now part of the PWHL's media house, which is so cool. So why don't you talk a little bit about kind of the transition from what you and Tessa started as, like we've said, a side project to now it becoming your full-time gig, and what that transition was like?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I can't even imagine telling myself last January. Like, I think, yeah, we're coming up on like the 1 year mark of the podcast. I think we dropped the first episode January 29th or something of last year. And if I would have told myself that I was going to leave TSN eventually to do the podcast full time in less than a year, like, that's unfathomable to me, because leaving TSN was like never on my radar. And I honestly don't think it was on Tessa's radar either. We were both pretty happy in our roles, and like, I was kind of in a pretty comfortable upward trajectory at TSN in terms of like opportunities I was getting, and stuff like that. But this was just so important to us, and it was also really important to both of us to enjoy what we were doing every single day, and feel like we were making a little bit of a difference, maybe. Like, I know that's kind of like a little bit cringy, but I don't know, like, there's something to, I mentioned before that I really love brand building. I really love to get behind like a brand or like a thing. Like, Jocks and Jills has been really fun for me to build like a social presence for. I've had so much fun doing it. I've talked to Tessa, me and Tessa talk about this all the time. Like, I'm not really that good at self-promotion. Like, I don't know. My TikTok is so dormant, guys. So is my Instagram.
It's so bad. Yeah, I know. Bring it back. Girl, where are you?
I know. It's because I've been like kind of fully obsessed with growing the Jocks and Jills brand. So over the summer, Tessa and I were kind of talking about how do we elevate this for season two? Like, what are we going to do for season two? Especially once we found out, because Tessa and I were kind of holding out hope that TSN would produce the broadcast in the second year of the PWHL.
Right.
So I'd get to be like ringside with a TSN mic in my hand. Tessa would get to host or be an analyst on a panel. That didn't wind up being the case. We heard that in the summer. And then Tessa, like, we know so many people at the PWHL. Like, we both covered the league last year. Obviously, Tessa played with lots of those people. Lots of them are from like the PHF and the PWHPA, which I covered. So we know everybody there. And Tessa just kind of reached out to a couple people behind the scenes to start a conversation about, like, you know what? I think it originally started because we wanted to know if we could get a look at the jerseys early. Like, that's how recently this all kind of came together. And there was a couple other companies that came to Tess and I in the summer, like, wanting to purchase the podcast, and they were definitely intriguing, and we thought about it a bit. But honestly, at the time, we were like still full-time at TSN, and even though the offers were intriguing, they just like weren't intriguing enough to leave what honestly was a dream job. Like, we both had really amazing dream jobs. So we had a couple offers in the summer, and then Tessa started to talk to people at the PWHL about, hey, can we maybe get a look at the jerseys early so we could do some coverage on them? And in talking to people at the PWHL, like, Tessa, I maybe undersold it when I said how crazy it was to film the podcast last year, but Tessa and I worked on completely different schedules. Like, me at Bar Down, I was kind of like a traditional 9-to-5, manning Bar Down, TSN socials, and then obviously when I had games and stuff, I'd be 9-to-5, and then I'd have a game at night or a sports center at night or something like that. Whereas Tessa was like exclusively working from Tessa was on such a grind of a midnight shift, and she has two little kids right now, and she lives like an hour from TSN.
Oh,
and she'd
my
be
gosh.
Going into work from like 6 p.m to 3 a.m and man, that's a grind. So she was kind of telling people at the PWHL about this, and eventually it became like, well, how could we work together? And that conversation developed into where we're at right now. So eventually we want PWHL Media House to be like a whole women's sports vertical. Like, we picture it being a women's sports podcast network. I use the term podcast, but like, it honestly feels like Jocks and Jills has developed into more of a show vibe than a podcast vibe. It's multi-platform and multifaceted, and I'm really proud of what we put out there on social, and our YouTube is kind of growing too. And we really picture a whole vertical of women's sports shows that way. And maybe like some fan shows from each of the different PWHL markets. So yeah. And like last year we were just like, we want to tell stories. So it's crazy how things kind of developed so quickly.
Why do you think that, you know, obviously there is the foundational block that both you and Testa have extensive broadcasting experience with, you know, starting a podcast or a show or something like that, you are going to be a little bit more naturally inclined. You might have a better on-camera presence and all those sorts of things. I totally get that. But why do you think the show was so successful? Is it because there was just such an appetite for this and there wasn't a lot filling that space? Or is there something particularly unique about your show? Or why do you think it took off in the way that it did?
You know, I think that there's a couple things. I think you're definitely right in saying that this was an underserved market. Like, women's hockey fans have been starving for women's hockey for a while. And I think in the way that people have shown up and showed out for PWHL games, people have bought merch, people have bought tickets, people have streamed the games. Like, it's very clear that this is an untapped market of people. So I think that, like, women's hockey content that you put out there, like, people are looking to digest that content. People are looking to watch that stuff. So definitely that's part of it. There was a huge pool of people who just didn't have anything to watch when it came to women's hockey or listen to. Like, it's pretty we were lucky to get into that space so early. And then I think, like, Tessa and I have a pretty unique dynamic, and we both have different strengths. Like, I the whole social media part of what I do, my understanding, I don't know, I'm gonna, like, just say chronically online in a bunch of fancy terms. So the way I'm chronically online, and I know how the internet works, the way I could tap into, like, that younger memeable market, and then the way Tessa knows the game so well and knows the players so intimately, and the relationship I have with the players from covering them and being, like, maybe a little bit closer in age to some of the younger ones, not some of the younger ones anymore, but some of the, like, like, my age.
What is it,
ones,
the 2000 and like, how old are you, like, what year were you born? My gosh,
2000 and, yeah, exactly. So we got a pretty unique thing going there in terms of the way both of our strengths have kind of been really beneficial in growing this thing.
Does the brand, obviously, since you weren't necessarily expecting it to be acquired by the league or anything like that, does the brand look different now than you thought it was going to? Has there been anything in particular that, you know, you started as an idea and it really took off, so you kind of latched onto it a bit more? Or has it kind of followed the vision that you thought it was going to?
I definitely didn't acquire us. I didn't picture us getting acquired by the league. And honestly, like, when getting acquired by the league first came to me, I was like, well, is that a good idea? Like, or are we just going to become, like, a mouthpiece for the league? Because, like, great leagues need critical media that give you their real feedback, right? Cool thing about the PWHL is, like, it is a really collaborative environment. So Tessa and I aren't afraid. Like, they brought Tessa and I in because honestly, it's really cool to feel this way, because I, like every other woman that you're gonna have on this podcast, obviously I suffer from a little bit of imposter syndrome in the sports world.
You're the first person to say that. Just kidding.
Yeah, it's a chronic thing. It's a terrible thing, but really, it's nice to feel like an expert. And the people at the league treat us like experts in media, in distribution, in new media, and in content in general. Like, they ask for our feedback on the broadcast and stuff like that too. So we're not afraid to voice our minds. And Tessa and I weren't really blowing anybody up on the podcast anyways. Like, I don't know, it's not really in my nature. Sure, I would roast NHL players who are making, like, $6 million a year, or, like, more like $11 or $12 million a year usually were the guys that I were roasting so much. I always roasted Mitch Marner when I was on the radio. I don't care, I'd do it again. I'm just kidding. Love you, Mitch Marner, you're the best. But, yeah, like, so there wasn't... At first I was like, is this a good idea? And then we're not a mouthpiece for the league. Like, they allow us to have our opinions. They haven't tried to control our content at all. So it hasn't followed the vision, because, like, I'm not boosting at all. This is beyond what I could have imagined for the podcast in the first year. Like, I really wanted to have, like, 10K followers on Instagram and 2,000 listeners a show. I think that was, like, what I set for myself. Or set for the show on the 1 year mark. So it's hard to put into perspective right now. Yeah.
That's incredible. And then that's so exciting. And I feel like, well, I mean, we already talked about this, but I feel like it can't be overstated that it's because there is an appetite for this, right? Like, the growth of the league, I think, has been synonymous with the growth of your show, just in the sense of people want good content about the things that they care about. And there are lots of people that care about this and that are, you know, looking for this content. And I feel like I want to kind of pivot the conversation a little bit to talk more kind of big picture holistically about just kind of the entrepreneurial mindset that you guys were able to embody to create something like this, because I think it's so important for people to think about how, you know, in this media space, making a difference and creating things doesn't always mean finding a job on Indeed and applying and submitting a cover letter, right? Like, there's room for innovation and there's room for creative ideas. So can you speak to that a little bit and just kind of about sort of the more like unconventional ways of finding gaps in markets and underserved areas?
Oh my gosh, I'm so passionate about this. Yes, I will like get on my soapbox.
Go off. Floor is yours. Let's go.
Because I have not had a job in sports that has existed prior to me. I have not. Like, at Bar Down, we were, and like, I don't want to say making it up as we were going along, but we were making it up as we were going along a little bit at Bar Down. Like, we were TSN's social media department. And then our boss believed in us being on camera a little bit. And then we had this huge YouTube following. And then it was like, how do we do this? How do we do this? Like, I signed a content creator full-time contract at TSN, one of the first ones that ever existed, because I was making TikToks and stuff like that. And then we saw that there was a gap in the market, to your point, when it comes to women's hockey content. So we created the Jocks and Jills podcast, and in turn, like, the Jocks and Jills TikTok and the Jocks and Jills Instagram, which is all kind of part of this larger, like, I feel like Jocks and Jills is more of a, I don't want to call it a media house because that's kind of lame, but it's less podcast, more show and multifaceted, like I said before. So my advice to anyone, like, whenever anybody's asking me, and I'm so hesitant about really giving advice because everybody's path is so different in sport media, and like, there's no one way to get your dream job, and then you'll get your dream job and it won't be your dream job anymore. And like, I don't know, everything is always moving and shaping and shifting in this industry. So I'm always kind of hesitant to give advice that's not just like, trust your gut and your intuition. But the one piece of advice I am always so comfortable giving is make your own shit. Like, make your own content. If you have an idea, and oh, I'm so good at saying stuff like this, and sometimes I just don't do it because I'm bad about, like, if I can't execute this idea perfectly, I'm not going to do it. Don't be like me. Be like someone else. Like, if you have an idea, even if you can't execute it perfectly, like, it's more about the idea and the content itself. Like, content is always king. That's what I found in this. It's so interesting. Like, when I first came into the industry, which is less than 10 years ago, haven't been around for very long, but there was this huge emphasis on like hype videos and perfectly filmed cinematography style visuals, and those have their place for sure, and they're very important. Now it's like, who's having the most engaging conversation? What's grabbing your attention? Because everybody's scrolling. It's just like, how can you get somebody to stop? And like, usually that's a really engaging like question or idea or something. But like, whatever you think you have, like, if you would watch it, I bet somebody else would too. There is so much room for content to be created. Like, there's people are dying to watch hockey stuff. Like, if you have an idea, just make it. That's how my boss hired people at Bar Down. He would find people who were making interesting like TikToks or podcasts or reels, or people who were funny on Twitter, and that's who he would bring in to be on our team. And that's how I wound up with this full-time kind of dream job at the PWHL, where I'm getting to be kind of the artiste on a day-to-day basis of what I create and what I do. So make your own shit is my advice.
Yeah, I think that's super, super important, especially because in this industry, it's, you know, if you make stuff that only belongs to someone else, like, not to be a Debbie Downer here, but holy smokes, the layoffs that happen in this industry, the quick turnarounds of, you know, you're in and then you're out and stuff like that. And if you don't own stuff, there's nothing wrong, obviously, with working for other people. And there are so many amazing media organizations, but there's just a little bit less certainty in knowing what's going to happen. You could have these big plans that can have wrenches thrown in them by powers that be. Like, you never know. And when the more control you could have over stuff, the more you're going to be able to do kind of what you want with it. So I think that's really, really important advice. Have there been some setbacks along the way that have sort of shifted the way that you think about, you know, whether it be this project in particular or women's hockey or the media, that have really been important for building your perspective?
Oh my gosh, so many. Women's sports is still like in an investment phase. Like, there's still some smoke and mirrors happening in women's sports. The product is there. Like, girls on the ice, the girls on the court. Actually, I'm not going to say the girls on the court because the WNBA has fully arrived and I don't know if I'm counting it as developing anymore, but the PWHL is still definitely building. Like, we're still definitely in a startup phase. I guess I was expecting, honestly, the PWHL to have a huge TV deal already, even though it's the second year of it existing. And the fact that it doesn't have a TV deal nationally at all in the United States yet is kind of shocking to me. Maybe it shouldn't be, but I guess that shifted my perspective on, like, okay, maybe we still have a little bit of a ways to go here. Same thing within Canada. Like, I was like, what do you mean we're not producing the games? But I think it was kind of like an important perspective shift, because it took, like, me and Tessa leaving TSN was a significant thing to go to the PWHL. So I'm pretty proud to be part of, like, the push to, like, make sure that this works.
Yeah, no, I think that's really important. And I think it can be hard, but eye-opening, but frustrating, but important to know when you care so much about something and you're so passionate about something, but knowing that, like you said, you know how good the product is, but the league isn't quite at the level yet of, you know, where in your head it is, right? Like, the product is, like, you think this is the most elite that there is in the world,
I'm
so
like,
therefore it should have.
I'm like, what's going on sometimes? Like, that's Sarah Nurse. Hannah Miller scored the other night, and Sarah Nurse knocked it out of the air, perfectly deflected it out of the air to Hannah Miller, like, in front of the net, and she banged it into a wide open net. And I'm like, why isn't this everywhere? Like, why didn't that goal, why didn't this Sarah Nurse, like, that's such a good video. And, like, maybe there's a couple things. Maybe the broadcast angle wasn't perfect of it. And I'm like, okay, that factors into it a bit too. And, like, yeah, so there's still ways to go, which is encouraging, because it's pretty sick what's going on right now. Like, it's pretty sick. And,
yeah,
like, I just don't think that there's a ceiling. So I'm choosing to be excited by that.
Right, yeah. I think that's the best way to look at all this sort of stuff, because there can be pessimism in every angle of every sport that's ever existed if you choose to only focus on those sorts of things. But I think this is the outlook of optimism is exactly what this particular episode is about, because, you know, you found a space and look what you've built. What do you think are some of the spaces that exist right now? Like, do you think, you know, if someone is listening to this and they're like, I'm dialed, I love the PWHL and I want to become more involved and find an underserved market and kind of create something for that. Like, where do you think some of the gaps are right now that people can sort of fill on their own? You know, Katie, who is 19 from Mississauga, can't get you a national TV deal in the US, right? But, like,
yeah,
there are things that people can do on their own that aren't, like we said, LinkedIn job ads. So what are some of the areas right now that you're sort of seeing so much potential for growth in?
Like, there's not that many people writing about the league. There's, like, a very select few people writing about the league. I know I can only off the top of my head think of one person who is employed full-time to write about women's hockey, and that's Haley Salvian at The Athletic.
Pretty good choice if you're gonna have to have one person.
If there's gonna be one, it's gonna be Haley for sure. But it's crazy to me that there's only one still. Make TikToks, like, make that content online, tell stories about players. Like, can somebody please do a dating web in the PWHL on TikTok? Like, I'm too professionally close to it. Somebody please make that series. So
she's gay. Marcus is at the center of it.
Yes, please. Like, somebody needs to do that stuff. There's so much space. Like, the players are so interesting. And honestly, I think there is a dating behind the scenes series to be made in the PWHL. There'd be too much tea. It's like, you have to give the people what they want. Yeah, I love, like, the women's hockey Twitter space. I think it's getting more hilarious by the day. I think there's always more room for more voices there. I think that the community is always looking to grow. So just get engaged in the conversation is my advice.
What are some personal kind of attributes that you think, and maybe not necessarily even things that you embody, because I know it's hard to sometimes be introspective and be like, well, I'm awesome because of XYZ, but, like, people that you find tend to have success in these areas, you know, like, people who work hard, people who are professional, are there different traits that you think it's super important for people to embody? And, you know, if you hone in on this and you build this up, like, you are going to see a lot more success than if you were to let that thing kind of sit there and not hone in on it.
Yeah, I think confidence is always, like, an important one. And I think confidence, like, not just when you do something that pops off. I'm thinking about content creation right now specifically. Like, I used to struggle with, like, if I made something and it didn't pop the hell off, I'd be like, well, obviously, it sucked. And that
it's because I'm horrible.
nailed it. So now it's more like, was this good content? Like, I'm smart enough to know, is this a good video? Like, was this a good story? Okay, like, what could I have done to make it? Like, could there have been a better hook? Like, I could still work on improving, but still being confident in my work, even if the numbers don't reflect that, which is so hard on social media, I'll say, because, like, numbers are a direct reflection of how something did. So it's almost like, okay, if this didn't do well, then obviously it wasn't good. But, yeah, that'd be one thing for sure.
What is some of the stuff that, you know, right now people should be getting excited about women's hockey? Like, obviously, you know, there's going to be the Olympics coming up, which is going to be really cool. There is talk of, you know, further expansion. This takeover tour has been really successful, and we've seen a lot more record-setting numbers, even, you know, similarly to what we saw last year in the inaugural season. Like, what are some things right now that people can latch onto and really get fired up about?
Honestly, I think expansion, great point. That's definitely one of them. I think the takeover tour in general has just been kind of an inspiring showing of, oh, going to PWHL games is so nice. Like, you just go in, and I've covered so many hockey games, and going to the PWHL games just has a vibe to them that is different. Like, there's so much love in the building, there's so much hope in the building, and I think that it's really important to be a part of, like, right now with where the world is at. Feeling a little bit dark and scary sometimes, not to get a little dark and scary. So I think that's something to get excited about. There's more investment happening every single day. We have a title sponsor on the podcast that we're announcing next week. Surprise! I'm so pumped about it. Companies want to give money to women's sports right now. Like, when companies are seeing the numbers, they, like, want to throw money at it, which is really exciting. Like, there is investment happening from major companies both north and south of the border because the product is so good and because those numbers are coming in. The Olympics, you mentioned it. That's something to get excited about. I'm really excited to see what goes down in women's hockey and how the existence of the PWHL maybe changes the landscape of this Olympics a little bit, because there's going to be so much more inter-team mingling. And, like, it's obviously going to raise the level of play significantly now that these girls have a full-time league to play in all the time. And they're just not getting their butts grinded at a centralization for Olympics every 4 years. So there's lots to be excited about. And then the rookie classes coming out of the league, like, just keep getting better and better, dude. Like, the hockey just keeps elevating. I think at its core, that's the most exciting thing. The hockey just keeps getting better and better.
Yeah, I mean, that goes hand in hand. You know, we talked about the product, right? That's all that it is the product. And when you have a really good product, yes, you need support staff, but the product can sell itself if you continue to elevate its caliber. And like you said, the MPP goal on her knees in Vancouver the other day, the Sarah Nurse assist, like, this, we are seeing world-class talent on full display, and these women finally having the opportunity. Obviously, there have been professional leagues before this, but not where women were allowed to dedicate as much time to refining their skills and, you know, improving every single day in the same way that we see in a lot of men's sports. So it's just been super, super excited. Maybe this is more of a personal question, but, like, what are you most excited about? Whether it's, this is a pretty open question, like, whether it's about the league as a whole, anything fun coming up with Jocks and Jills, or just something that's exciting to you and you're feeling optimistic about?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just really excited about growth. Like, dude, I live in the numbers every single day. And, like, I see the podcast get a little bit bigger every single day. I see the league accounts get a little bit bigger every day. I see the streaming numbers grow a little bit each day. So I'm just excited that this feels sustainable. Like, it feels this bit of real organic growth every single day, this genuine, like, turning of heads from people in sport, like, not just in women's hockey, but in men's hockey, in women's basketball, and, like, the sports world is kind of turning to look at the PWHL right now and turning to look at women's hockey right now in a way that I don't think it has in my lifetime. So I think that's what I'm most excited about. The heads are turning.
And that feels good. You know, it's like we have waited long enough for this sort of thing, and it's really exciting to be, you know, a part of it. This is something that, you know, for years and years, you'll be able to say, I was there when, and that's pretty damn special. So it's very exciting. And I think that kind of brings us to basically the end of the episode here. And this is a common thread that runs its course through this season of the show. But I want you to kind of leave us with maybe some parting words in terms of, you know, the title of this episode is How to Be an Entrepreneur in Women's Hockey. We've sort of talked about how interesting it's been watching your passion for the sport the identification of a market that existed and kind of just growing and growing and meeting that demand that exists for women's hockey. It's just so cool. And if other people want to follow, you know, I would never say follow a similar path, because in sports they don't exist. There is no similar path. There's just you, and everyone's got a different one. But if people are looking to kind of embody that entrepreneurial spirit in women's hockey, what would you leave them with as a parting gift, let's say?
Make deep connections, like find your people in the space and nurture those connections. Like I hate like the idea of networking to network and to get a leg up in the world of sports. But if you have authentic connections with people, if you really care for people, they'll care for you too. Like Tessa and I have been able to lift one another up into these new roles. And at Bar Down, the female gang at Bar Down was so special with Reagan and Marissa and Kia and Jordan. So yeah, like that would be my advice, is to have a really strong network and lift one another up. And then I'm gonna come back to it again, but make your own shit. Like make content, put it out there, it will get noticed. Like not that many people make hockey content. The people that do, like if you make it and you keep at it, I guarantee you eventually you will get views. I believe in you.
Absolutely. There is space for you. And I think when it comes to networking as well, like I went to business school. I went to so many wine and cheeses in my blazer. This is a blazer hater episode, because you don't need that. And of course I talk to people, but networking doesn't have to look like that. It can be, you know, Julia commenting on my outfit and being like, wow, this is so cute, you know? And like, there are so many authentic ways, and all of a sudden one day she'll come on the second episode of your podcast project, right? Like there's so many different ways to connect with people in hockey in today's day and age. And you don't have to fit that mold of exactly what you think things should look like, because listen to every single person who's come on this podcast, and then their 10 closest friends and their 10 closest friends in sports, they're all like, yeah, this isn't what I thought I was going to do. This isn't how I thought I was going to do this. And every single person says that. So
yeah, dude. And I'm like, I'm not going to act like it's not totally, sometimes it doesn't freak me out. Like sometimes I'm like, oh my god, I left TSN. What is wrong with me? Am I cracked? Like I don't know if that was the right call.
Oh, yeah.
It was the right call. Like I think that everybody, honestly, it doesn't really exist the way it used to in sports. Like it would be great to have one job and just be able to like talk on camera as like a full-time job, but you got to be multifaceted. And honestly, I think the landscape is leaning towards independent media.
Interesting. Well, I think that's a very interesting nugget, and I think there's a lot of room for growth. So if you're out there working on something, thinking of working on something, keep doing it. We can't stress that enough. Julia, thank you so much for joining me for episode 2 today. This has been so much fun. I have been such a fan of Jocks and Jill since day one. It's so cool to watch what you and Tessa have done, seeing, you know, Tessa, who I've basically grown up with on my TSN broadcast, and you, someone who I watched cover Memorial Cup and all these other sorts of things, and the way that it's gone has just been so cool. So I really appreciate you taking the time and joining me today. This has been lots of fun. Folks, on your way out, make sure you hit that like button, hit the subscribe, everything you want, because this also, it's a podcast, but it's also a show, kind of like Jocks and Jills. You're watching on YouTube. We got some fun facial reactions because, you know, us two yappers, we can't be normal, be chill about anything. So make sure you check out all the episodes coming up as well. Thank you so much for taking the time, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.